Yeah, and you fly south for the winter.
They don't just keep flying south.
No. It's the migratory animals.
They don't. All right, so winter's here. Let's go further south. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies, the shop. This is your banger. I lost my train of thought. My co-host with me, Herbie.
What up, peoples?
What's going on? You like that excitement, that energy I just brought, Herbie?
Yeah, until you trot off and lost your whole train of thought. Then it was just like, oh, what is he doing?
It was forced, man. It wasn't going to go anywhere from the first place.
It could if you wanted it to, but you didn't.
It went south. That's where it went. South.
For the winter?
For the, sure.
Yeah. All the birds are flying north for the summer now, baby.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, and you fly south for the winter.
They don't just keep flying south?
No. It's the migratory animals.
They don't. All right, so winter's here. Let's go further south.
Yeah, they fly south where it's warmer for the climates. Certain birds, and then when it gets warmer, they have the instinct to come back. Just kind of like salmon goes downstream or the other stream, and then. The bears always get them in the springtime because they come back and try to jump up the waterfalls. So.
Can they climb waterfalls?
It's like, it's not like a tall waterfall, but like little cascading waters.
All right. I was about to say, like, I'm not extremely interested in nature half the time, but like, that'd be an interesting sight, seeing some fucking casual fish just climbing a waterfall.
Yeah, no, it's like little, they swim up streams to get what they need to do.
So where's the gravity? It's coming out and going back in.
Yeah, I definitely don't think that would be good. So.
How dare you?
Yeah. Herb, breaking the laws of physics.
You got a flavor this week, Herb?
Yeah. I'm going to give this one to... to buddy daddies, how when Ray was talking to, Kazuki was talking to Ray, and he's like, oh, this is Papa Ray. He's like, no. And he's like, this is Uncle Ray. He's like, no, just call me Ray. This is just Ray. I was like, oh, my man's laying down to the law. He don't want to be an uncle to a kid that ain't even his.
Just call me Ray.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, and some other stuff I've been, watching. Watch some Log Horizon and Jotaro's been heating up. So
is Log Horizon good?
I enjoy it. We could talk about that later clean up episode. But yeah, your flavor of the week.
My flavor this week is coming from a reel I just sent you about 5, 10, 15 minutes ago. And it is from an anime I've never seen called Rokudo no Onatachi. I probably butchered that. My bad, peeps.
You probably did. Butchered it.
But.
Like a butcher of Sanjima.
It's literally. This guy who appears to be the main character, this little pink-haired girl tries to punch him in the face and, like, nothing happens. She's, like, punching. She's like, huh? That's weird. And she's like, hey, you with the green beret, come over here. And some dude just chilling. He's like this? He comes over to her and then she just punches him and sends him flying into a wall. And I was like, oh, damn. Well, damn.
Yeah.
And then that's how that anime made my list. And it's probably garbage. It's probably the only good scene in that anime.
I don't know. We'll see. Got to find the titles. I wish they would have the titles and the stuff.
That you gotta, yeah, you gotta. Some people put it in the picture of the reel, and I'll just take a screenshot. But like, if you scroll the comments enough, if it's an older video that gets enough attention, you'll find a title.
Yeah. So
I just screenshot all the reels that I need to keep track of.
Yeah, stuff I want to look at for later. Like, yeah, oh, add that to my list when I get a chance.
Exactly, when I get a chance. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like I just started one and I was just like, ooh, maybe this isn't what I thought it was.
Yeah, some of them be like that. But yeah, all right. So let's see. You want to get into some Revengers and then get the Buddy Daddies and clean up with High Card? Or you want to do High Card first?
I could do either or. My explanation on both will be pretty much the same. I watched these pretty much on Saturday, and since I'm such a bad note taker, a lot of it is just relying on my terrible memory.
Poor memory, yep.
So, since you said Revengers, let's go Revengers. Fuck it, dog, right? You know what I'm saying? Episode 7, Rosie Pitfall. Alright, so we start off the episode. My boy Rizzo was having what I think is a bad dream about his wife and his father-in-law and, like, this whole, his guilt train. And, like, he's just wallowing in his guilt. But he's also drawing, but, like, it doesn't look like he's drawing. I don't think my man's been sleeping good. Maybe the Chinese coming into the picture and bringing up the opium stuff has made his feeling of guilt a little stronger.
Probably. But, I have some synopsis to do with that. Some under there.
Yeah, maybe. But my boy Yuen is still holding that gold coin that he had last episode. Don't know who's it from. Don't know what it's for. Hana comes up to Soji, who's playing cards with the kids, and she's telling them, no, don't gamble. He's like, we're not gambling. I was like, well, still, don't play cards with Soji, because you don't want to end up like him in the future. And Soji took that on the chin like a champ. He wasn't, like, upset about it. He was laughing. And it's probably true, because he kills people. So, yeah, don't end up like me, kids. But Hana seemed concerned about Rizzo and said, what's going on with you and Rizzo? He hasn't come out lately. He's like, nah, he's just like that. Leave him be. And yeah. Then we get to the what the fuck moment of the episode. And we have, I think, 4 or 5 priests. Or monks, I'm sorry, monks in front of us. I think they're monks. And We have what looked like it could have been women at first, offering their flesh, prostitutes. And the experienced monks speak to the younger one and say, they're not women, they're men dressed as women, so there's no sin. I'm like, I don't know if it works that way.
Well, I think one of the vows was like, they can't lie with women. So they're not lying with women per se.
Shouldn't the vow be you can't lie at all? Like, what if it only says you can't lie with women because they expect you to only be able to be attracted to women?
That's
I think we need to reword this.
Yeah, I mean, their what you call them were written a long time ago, so it probably could have been some way they skirted around it.
Uh-huh. This is like a lawyer getting like the dude free with a technicality.
Yeah, like the history of that stuff is needless to say not always the best, because there's forget the one literature I was reading. They were talking about how, like, back then, like, it was, like, common for, like, male to male to, like, they wouldn't see that as, like, I think it was, like, it wasn't immoral or something. They kind of saw it as, like, a rite of passage or something. Like, the mentor-student relationship thing, I was like, ooh, okay.
That's wild.
I was like, that wouldn't fly today. I don't think it should have flew either that way. But, like, yeah, it's the histrionics of that stuff is wild.
It's more history than I was prepared for.
I read that chapter. I was like, oh, okay. Y'all Romans were kind of out there. Like, I'm glad y'all kind of died off a little bit.
Well, they kind of out here in this episode.
Yeah.
So they basically forced the man to have the first choice, and he picks someone, and he smells the opium on them like right away, and he's like, when they get to the room, he's like, I don't plan on laying with you. I smell the opium. And dude, like, kisses him. I'm like, whoa, that's rape. Like, though you're a prostitute, so I don't know if you care. And then, like, whispering, he's like, shh, they hear. If you don't, like, follow through with this, they'll assume you're against them, and they'll drug you like they did me.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want you to end up like me. And then, so, it just takes my man.
Yeah, so, like, this episode made me a little uncomfortable.
I was like, damn.
Because this person is like going into like their life. Like, I used to be a prominent person. My family sent me here to, you know, do such and such, and this I got caught up in this, and now I'm addicted to the opium, and like, while they're fucking, the dude's trying to be like inspirational, like, you can choose a better life. I will help you. And like, and he's not even doing this because he's a monk anymore, because after this, he kind of loses his self, and feels like he like walked away from the path of the Buddha. And yeah. give me 1 second. Time stamp this at 11:22. Hola, amor.
¿Qué haces?
Haciendo la podcast.
Oh, iba a entrar a la casa.
Okay.
Pero amor, si estás haciendo eso, ¿puedo?
Sí.
Okay.
Okay, te amo.
Te amo.
Bye. All right, 11.
Do you need to go pick her up?
No. She's just outside. She's wondering if she can come in. Okay. Uh-huh. 3, 2, 1. So he felt like he lost the path of the Buddha and whatever, because like he partook in that scene.
That, yeah.
Those activities.
Technically not lying with someone, but he lied with someone, so.
Yeah, I think he has a more accurate picture on what the life of a Buddha was supposed to be like.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
Yeah, so I guess he felt like if he couldn't live the life he sought out for, the least he can do is save this person.
Yeah.
And he actually inspired her so much, well, him, not her, that when it came down to like him staying in his little den where you see everyone just hitting that opium. Dude, former samurai, whatever the hell it was, stopped taking it, and head nun lady came in. I was like, oh, you're not taking your medicine. Well, fortunately for you, there's other ways for you to apply, and she just like fucking injected it with a snake head. So then when is that my doorbell?
Could be.
So when my man went back, the dude was like completely out of his mind, over drugged, over high, and like he knew what would happen if he didn't like bed that person. So again, another uncomfortable scene. You just saw this man. Bareback. Oh, that's my door. Excuse me again. 1 second. All right, so my bad. This is probably gonna get a little noisy here and there, but where was I?
You're talking about how high dude was.
All right, so he's going at it. He's drugged the hell out. So the monk doesn't end up in the same situation, even though he regrets it and doesn't want to do it. He just like barebacks the dude and like straight doggy style, it looked like, in the shadow. And I'm like, whoa, this. I know I was asking for some plot, but
how do you know it was bareback?
I don't know, bro. I just said from the shadow it looked like that. It was just from position experience. I won't say from the same experience because I've never been with a man, but from position experience. And while I know it was bareback because dude was biting the coin and was facing the floor.
I mean, that don't necessarily mean that.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't even know when this time period is, so I don't know if contraceptive has been invented yet, so could be. I just was, you know, wondering.
Yes. If
you saw something I ain't see.
Nah, dog. I saw two different pictures and I put the piece together. And assumed.
You know what I say about assuming?
I make an ass out of you and me, but I don't think you could look like an ass in this situation. Actually, you could, because if someone listened to this, oh, look at this dude, Sinji, talking about this like he knows something. They're both dumbasses.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. So, you go, he had the dude, prostitute girl, bite the coin while they were doing their extracurricular activities. And on the way to the town, some dude asked the monk to, like, say a prayer. The child died prematurely, and he was like, I cannot do that. I've strayed too far from the path of the Buddha. So then our boys at the Revengers got the coin. And from there on, it was just, it was a done deal. Neo started off the party with her strings and cut up a nun into pieces. Then Yuen showed up, did his gold prayer sheet thing. And everyone, they were killing all the ladies responsible for this. The head lady got away while getting what was good, but Risel went to chase her. And chasing her, she tried to poison him, didn't work, then she tried to keep running. So he went to chase her again, and long-haired Chinese dude, whose name I don't know, showed up. It's time for round two. Well, in the midst of that, lady decides she's going to run away. Nuh-uh, Soji, card in your dome. I'm amazed those cards can penetrate that deep. But card in her dome...
You haven't seen the video that I sent you, like the TikTok of the dude throwing like playing cards into like wood?
Into like apples and stuff? Yeah, dog. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
The velocity.
Yeah. I'm like, so I could definitely see why if you're throwing cards like that.
If you have enough force, I guess. Yeah. So maybe but if they had like a, deep. Maybe if they had like a sharper edge and like he did enough force.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
So the fight continues and turns into a 2-on-1, which Chinese dude ends up, like, losing the advantage. So he does this weird, like, phantom maneuver thing where he's just moving too quick and he runs off into the woods.
Runs off into the night.
Yep, and that was that episode.
Yeah. I did have a little few other little tidbits worth mentioning.
By all means, go ahead.
The whole reason why Ichinozo he's in that situation was because that lady like poisoned him, and she saw when she sees someone she wants them to be part of her brothel that she like built up, and she took money as a nun. Like I don't even think she's a real nun. I think she just saw an opportunity. Like a means to provide a service to people that normally wouldn't be able to lie with a woman. So they're skirting the rules there. Yeah, I thought that was one. The temple's a brothel. So
I thought there was something freaky going on with that statue.
Yeah, for a minute.
Yeah, there's something not right about that statue, but it never really came into play.
Yeah. It's kind of, I guess, yeah, it might have been a Buddha statue. I can't remember it exactly. So then at the end of the episode, you missed the whole scene with Sakata. The guy with the bloody sock. Well, the opium dealer before, and the guy that fled the scene before, his partner in crime was talking to like the head shogun dude with the police guy.
Oh yeah, they, pajama dude.
Yeah, and so apparently there was a bloody sock that the police allegedly missed, but I don't think it was there. I think they just gave the sock as like evidence. And he's like, oh, there's rumors of people that go around killing people, and we want you to investigate it. So essentially he's trying to get the police involved to study Raizo's group. So I'm like, huh, that is manipulation at its finest.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I get so, like, interested in the scenes, I forget to write about the scenes. And, like, I wrote nothing about the pajama dude scene. And I was just like, damn, you're right, that did happen. And, like, they were kind of, like, having a big dick contest towards the end.
Yeah.
And my man ended off with a pretty good line. It was just like, even severed heads can buy coins.
Yeah. It was
or all you need is a head to buy the coin or something like that. And I was like, even if you kill me, that doesn't mean I can't get revenge on you.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, that's a good one.
I agree.
So, and he had like a wooden sword because he had to sell his heirloom, family heirloom, because he was a gambler.
Yeah, bad gambling habits.
Yeah. Don't gamble too much or set a limit for yourself, kids. Remember that.
Huzzah.
So, Buddy Daddies, Season 1, Episode 2, The Kiss of Death. So, it starts off with my girl Mira. She's about to wet her pants. And we get to Kazuki making some breakfast. And the real question here is, why is Ray sleeping in the bathtub? That made no sense to me.
Can you repeat it? I'm sorry.
I said, why is Ray sleeping in the bathtub?
I think maybe he gave up his bed for her.
Maybe. That's what I was thinking.
I thought that at first, but then like as soon as I thought that, I was just like,
it's a big
what house. I feel like he just like, sleeps in the bathtub regularly.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, what? Because like, is it because he's afraid that the place might be bombed or they might shoot it up, and the bathtubs are like the safest place, they say?
I feel like he's just lazy and he just take a shower as soon as he wakes up.
That could be it too. I don't know. And then we get to my flavor when Ray gets up. He's like, oh, it's Papa Ray. It's Uncle Ray. And he's like, no, just call me Ray. Then he finishes making up breakfast, and then we find out that the kid was the mobster's parent. The mobster was her parent, which I thought it was Kazuki at first, because they look similar, but the hair, I think his is a shade lighter than the mobster's.
I thought it would be kind of... So, I thought it was... I don't know what I thought. It was just like because he gives I feel like he clearly gives his ex-wife money. And like, I don't know if that's because she had the baby and like he figured that he can't be in their lives. So it's like kind of like child support. But like, now that I think about it, they don't really go back to the plate before this scene. But when they went back before they showed it, like, he gave money again, so I was like, does he have a kid? Does he not have a kid? We know it's not this kid, but...
I feel like it's probably something along the lines of, like, she doesn't want him in a life if he's going to do that kind of work, but he still wants to provide for his child. And so she's like, oh, I don't need you or your, I don't, she's like, I don't need your money. We need you or something. And she's just staying on principle.
It's probably something like that.
Or she just doesn't want his blood money. One or the other.
It's probably something like that.
Yeah. Still. So, yeah. So it's the mobster kid. And now they're trying to find out where she came from. And this was the other funny part, too. They were like, oh, what city you come from? What about this? What about that? And she's like, he's like, oh, what jurisdiction? And she's like, oh, do you have juice? So then we found out that she's 4 years old and her name's like Unazaka. It's like, huh. So then they embark on a mission to find her mother and they go to Kuyu, their handler, and they ask him to find out if the mobster had a kid. Which he's like, I don't know if he had one. You know, my results are kind of thorough, but it's like, I'll look for you. So then they leave, and a man in a suit named Ojin Ryu, he's like, oh, I'm in town, so contact me with any job. And I could tell, like, the handler didn't like this guy for some reason, but you couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm. He's so just like oh. He kind of had, like, an expression like, oh, he's back.
Yeah, so we're going to run into something here.
Not to mention how casually. So when dude showed up, they already kind of failed the mission, didn't they? By the time that guy showed up?
No, the mission didn't start yet.
Oh, so he showed up before they did. Okay, all right.
Yeah, showed up before the mission. Like, after they accepted that mission, they left out.
Right. Okay, all right. Then I'll save my comment until after the end.
Yeah, okay. So then they go back to their place to get married because they left her alone to go there. And the place has looked like it's been ransacked. And so Ray starts clearing the rooms. I'm like, oh, Ray's going to shoot up somebody for taking the kid. But I don't think you're going to shoot someone for taking the kid. I think you're just going to shoot them because they were an intruder. So, and apparently she's playing hide and go seek. And then this is when she pulls out the strap. She's like, oh, bang, bang. I was like, oh, she got a gun. And like, Kazuki, like, he jumps out and he's like, Ray's like, we don't keep loaded guns around here. I'm like, that is gun safety 101. Good gun safety laws right there. Don't keep your weapon loaded and you don't keep the ammo in the same place that you keep your gun, which is smart.
Well, at least they passed some safety regulations, because the kid definitely had access to it.
Yeah, she did, which I don't know how she got to it. But then again, I don't see Ray baby-proofing the house because he doesn't want no kid anyway. So
really wanted that cat, though.
He did. Well, Cat's not going to pull a trigger on you like a kid could.
If it could, it might.
You're right, because cats are assholes. And so then they start doing their target research, and he cooks some food for Mary. And she's like, oh, this, she's like, Papa, this food. He's like, oh, it's great. I did this. And she's like, it isn't as good as Mama. And I was like, ooh, crushed him.
Mm-hmm.
So then Mary wants to play hide and seek some more. And they, while they were in the course of that, they were looking at the plans and they couldn't figure out like the stronghold. They were like, oh, this is too defended here. We can't really do that. And hide and seek gave him the idea and inspiration on how to assassinate the target. So they finish their plan and they start to head out and they leave Mary with like a bunch of candies. And Ray's like, oh, it's like when you leave treats for a dog, and then you leave, which I do. My dog, if I know I'm going to be gone for a while, I'll put a little treat in her little cup.
Bro, but they were going to leave this four-year-old child alone for an entire mission.
I know, which they probably shouldn't have did. But, yeah, I was like, oh, I did the same thing with my dog. Put a whole bunch of treats in her little Kong toy and head out the door. keeps her from seeing me. And then once I get in the car and turns out, she always hops up in the window and looks. But I'm gone.
I'm gone.
But yeah, so this is when I thought they were going to pass it off to the ladies down the hall.
I did too.
But they didn't. I was like, oh, they're about to pass them off. But nope. Took her with them.
I would have left her with Uncle Barkeep.
Well, I don't think they want
him to know about it.
Yeah, not yet at least. So I'm like, huh, interesting. So then they go, they're at the place, they're infiltrating as well. Ray's set up at the boat launch, and Ray actually wanted to storm the place, but they chose against that. But he set up at the boat launch, hoping that the explosions drive them out to the boat launch so that they can get shot up. And so he infiltrates. He's a security systems analyst. And he infiltrates, he gets in there. He knocks out some guards, does some stuff. And then this is Mire. She really has to pee. And she was honking a horn. And then eventually she goes in there. And she finds Papa. And then so they chase him throughout the mansion because they got found out. And he's like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, this, that, and the other. And they're like about to shoot. And then my boy Ray shows up just blasting away.
Yo, guns blazing.
Shot that man through the arm. I was like, oh, okay.
And he goes, told you we should have done this from the beginning.
And like, yeah, this should have been plan A. And then so they escape.
Yo, my man was coming in reckless, though. Like, he was just walking towards gunfire, going crazy.
I think Kazuki's pretty strong, too, because he grabbed Mira under one arm and was grabbing Ray and running with the other one.
Yo, and Ray just kept shooting.
Yeah, I was like, my man is super strong. I need to get on his workout plan. Yeah. So, yeah, they escape. And then the barkeeper, who are you, finds out that the guy did have a child from some mistress. And the suit from before comes up and takes a contract. And it proceeds to wipe everybody out. I was like, man, it's crazy.
That's cray.
Yeah, that's cray.
Ain't it, yeah. Jay?
Besides, see where it goes through from here.
Yeah, so other than Ray going balls to the walls at the end, I'm wondering, like, when the barkeep was like, they apologized for making the huge scene and losing the target or whatever. He's like, I'm not worried about it. Just, you're off the job. That just happened so casual. And it's like, yeah, okay. I was like, wait, but you gave them an advance. Do they have to give it back? Do they now owe money?
It might be one of those things where it's like, this is something to get you started or whatever.
I was going to say, I mean, Ray killed enough people to earn the money.
But it wasn't the target. It wasn't
the right person, though.
You don't get money for killing people that surround him. You get money for the target.
Hey, listen. You may not give me the normal rate, but I still want the bonus.
Nah, you can't do that.
Damn.
Watch he flipping plays like he's 95 Madden.
So,
but yeah, on to the next one.
High card, episode 8, Heat Up. And boy, does this episode get hot.
Literally.
Quite literally. Finn is having the flaming night dream again, and he wakes up on a public bus. And he's going to visit Sunny Fields or whatever the hell. Sunfields, I believe the place is called. We go over to our guys at the dealership, and Mr. Apple is questioning Chris about Finn. Chris was having a bit of an awkward moment trying to defend himself and explain like it wasn't what he looked like. And I may not have been paying attention well enough, but I'm pretty sure I saw someone new with a heart card. Or was that...
there was like his driver or somebody had something was in there.
Yes, 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 the driver. And I saw like a heart symbol on the glove. You know, Irby, this is why I make a good team.
Yeah, you take good notes.
I didn't notice until now, and it's probably because I wasn't paying attention in the last episodes, but the dude that runs Sunfields, his name is Lindsay.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't get it. Like, no matter how much you slice and dice it, like, that just sounds like a girl's name to me.
Well, there's some males that have the name Lindsay.
I know, and that's why I don't get it.
Yeah. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. So, Finn, it's Lindsay's birthday. Finn brought some brings him flowers. There's a new kid on the block. I think his name is Sam.
Yeah, Sammy boy.
And Sam's a well-drawn black character who has, what is in his possession? It's not...
It's a book about the kingdoms.
It's a book about the kingdoms. It's the last thing he's gotten from his parents, and he treasures it more than anything. So Finn seeing Sam and like Sam getting in the fight over his book, or just like holding his book and like getting in the fight with the kids, like brought up memories of Finn when he first showed up. So he goes to talk to Sam and explains like, hey, there was this kid that lived here. He had a card from his parents, and he didn't want anyone to mess with it, and he would get into fights, but Lindsay told him that only weak people fight back. Something along those lines. And in an attempt to get closer to Sam, he showed Sam his secret hiding spot, which was a loose floorboard in the room. Boom. We're singing happy birthday. No, I'm lying. We're ready for dinner, and Lindsay asks Finn if he can come grab the chicken with him, and then they have a serious conversation about, like, because Finn shows him the money. He's like, you got into something dangerous, didn't you? You're making quite a lot of money. And Finn is trying to assure him that, like, it's all good. This Sunfields is still part of my family. It's not going anywhere. And Lindsay tells him, which kind of, damn. And Lindsay told him, I'd be happier if you didn't show up here anymore. I was like, damn, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, I think that's because you're suspicious on, like, how he's getting the money, but, like, damn, dog.
I mean, it probably would have been better.
In hindsight, after what's about to happen, probably would have been better. But you know what they say, hindsight's 20/20. Some can say Finn brought the danger here. Some can say he saved them from danger.
Yeah.
But they're singing happy birthday, and surprise of fucking prize, Marble Guy showed up to crash the party.
Bobby Ball.
And he...
causes a ruckus.
He grabs a handful of candy. I think he had marbles in his hand already. And Finn pulls out the gun, tells everyone to get away. Boom, boom, boom. The fight starts, and like the place is catching on fire. Lindsay's running out. And they're kind of in a stalemate, which kind of confused me because... okay. Leading up to this episode, we're gonna backtrack a little bit. Leading up to this episode, we've confirmed two things. One, Finn has one of the weakest cards, which I still think could have potential to be one of the strongest cards if that two of spades is, you know, a two of spades the way we use it in some games. And then two, Finn has really good eyes when it comes to shooting things. Like, he's
a card.
Yes. So why the hell was he missing with this gun this whole fight?
I think it was because of the fire aspect of it.
Man, and the burning I think house, it was plot.
Which is plot. It's like he was trying to shrug off the traumatic events still that he was in there. Because everywhere he was looking, he was seeing his house burning and like.
Yeah, he was a little mentally shaken. But then he sees Sam running. So he makes a great escape to go get Sam. And Sam went back to the room to get the freaking book that Finn showed him the spot for. And if Finn didn't show him the spot for, the book would have been in his hand already. He wouldn't have to go back. You know what? I take it back. Finn caused this. Yeah. Lindsay had every right to say that. So he tells Sam, cover your nose. We're going to make a run for it. Well, surprise, surprise, Bobby Ball is around the corner. So instead, they make their way to the roof. In making their way to the roof, goes Sam, trust my family. Jump down. Sam makes a jump for it. Ah, boom. We got him. Boom. All right, Sam's safe. Cool. My man Marbles. Finn starts beating him. He works up the courage to like actually fight him and like starts winning. This motherfucker brought out two cards.
I would say that he ran out of bullets and Bobby thought he wasn't going to do anything. But I think the most important note here was when the same where Lindsay told him when he's a kid, he's like, don't fight back. You'd be just as weak as him. But then he was like, oh, you can fight back if they're like an absolute jerk. He can beat their ass or something, he said.
And they deserve it. Yeah, yeah. And then he punched him. Did he punch him with the gun?
Yeah, with the gun. It was a super punch.
And like sent him flying. I was like, was that supposed to make you stronger too? I'm like, I'm unclear on the powers these cards provide. I need more details. But that's when Bobby Ball jumps up and, surprise, surprise, I have two cards. Now, activate X-Play. I'm like, what the fuck is X-Play?
X-Hand. I'm like, oh, step.
And then, like, he freaking turned into, like, Marbles and something else that stretched. And, like, he was a monster.
Pick
and
a
like
little arm. I was like, ooh, okay. Yeah. Pick a little arm.
And, like, he beat Finn into the house. So now, like, Finn's, like, surrounded by fire and facing this figure that's, like, burning alive. So now he's, like, all the way deep in his post-traumatic stress disorder. And at the very end, I thought, like, or I knew a 2B continue was coming. But I thought the fight was going to continue. No, freaking Mafia shot this dude from, like, whatever 100,000 feet away.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, this crappy family.
Which, I feel like that guy's in the wrong too, because if there's one thing the Mafia does is they don't mess with innocent bystanders like that. So they might have seen Bobby Ball going in there attacking an orphanage and setting it on fire as deplorable behavior.
If Mafia dude's actually somewhat of a like a mafia guy with morals, yeah.
Yeah, but most of them are like that, which is why they
have lines they won't cross and shit like that.
Yeah, like they won't hurt someone's family that's not in the business. That kind of deal, which them kids had nothing anyway, and you want to go in there and burn it down to get rid of someone else that don't even live there anymore, bro? Like, come on, stop it. Yeah. Get some help.
It was time for him to go, but they lost two cards in the process. Like, they need someone to retrieve those two cards.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, oh, man, he deserved it. Mm-hmm. The family got rid of him. He was a jerk.
There was also a moment at the Mafia table where Homeboy was eating a steak and telling a story that I didn't really get the point of.
He was telling, it was like the origin of families, of how people came together. Like, it started out with, like, little people that would, like, hunt and gather in groups to help better their lives. And then it became, like, a little family, and then it became a village and town and city. And a metropolis and county, then a country and, you know, formal state. So he was just going up the chain about how it went. So
got it.
I guess it kind of goes along the lines of how he wants to make the four kingdoms all under one or something.
Yeah.
That's why he's trying to get the cards.
Fair enough. So. How about there being no fucking Jujutsu chapter this week after bringing Gojo back?
Yeah, I was kind of let down.
I was ready for the fight.
They might come back and give you like a 40 page chapter.
No, don't do that.
I mean, why not?
Too much reading. I hated when Chojin did that. I was like, bro, why it's so long? I feel like Chojin up until this very moment has just been a prologue.
It might have been.
I feel like Chojin just had a really freaking long prologue.
I'm not their actor. Well, not the writer. But yeah.
All right, so Irby, what are you getting into these days?
Yeah, I was telling you, started watching Log Horizon. That's about to be finished.
You finished it?
It's about to be finished.
Oh. I finished Call of the Night, which was... is it a rom-com?
You watching rom-coms out here?
Yeah, it depends if it catches my interest. So, like, all right. So, rough summary of Call of the Night. It's a... as far as I know, the only place I found it was H-Dive that I watched through Amazon. But it's about a teenage boy or a middle school boy who gets really bored of his life. And he hasn't been sleeping well. So he goes and walks outside at night. Comes across a freaking vampire who, like, brightens up his world. Like, she brings fun into his life again. So he basically drops out of school and just starts, like, spending every night with her. And he decides he wants to be a vampire. So the plot of this show is for him to become a vampire. And in this show, the way you become a vampire is you have to fall in love with a vampire that sucks your blood. And then you become their offspring. But this kid doesn't even know, like, this kid is, like, so socially awkward. He doesn't know what determines, like, what determines a friend, what determines an acquaintance. How do you determine when someone likes someone? So, like, anytime he feels like any type of like emotion, he's like, suck my blood now to like verify it. And it's like it never pans out, but it's actually a pretty good chill show to just like watch on the side.
Yeah, it sounds like my life.
It sounds like something you'd like.
No, my life.
I know what you said.
but yeah, Log Horizon, it's kind of like a, I guess, Sword Art, where people get trapped in the game. And
tell me more.
Yeah, it's the guy, the main guy's like Shiro, and he's like a strategist, which, you know, I like the strategy type ones that like have a plan for a plan. So, but yeah, they're trying to figure out how to, because the people of the land, they call them, they're like basically real people to them now with their own stories and stuff. And they're trying to figure out a way out of the game and all the stuff and trying to mix the aspects of the life of the land of the people and their aspects and stuff. And they do fights and, you know, the typical stuff of people trying to get territory and all that.
Right.
Yeah, and fights, and it's pretty fun. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I like that one. And Jotaro, dog, that man Dio is an absolute menace. Those stands don't get in there until like season two or three.
Gotcha.
So it's completely different than what you thought it would be. But yeah, it's pretty much all it is a bunch of like fighting and doing stuff and it's like big brain moves and like planning ahead and like counter punch. And I'm like, oh man, this is great. Like, oh, that's how he's getting out of it. So I'm pretty much enjoying it. And then like the art style, I didn't notice this to you. It said something like you didn't like the art style before, but like it slowly got better over time. Because the first couple episodes, I was like, yeah, this is atrocious.
that's why I'm not watching it. I was just like, bro, like I can't get over the bad visuals. It was just like it took me a second to warm up to Mob.
But yeah, no, it's great, dog. Like I would recommend it.
All right, I know JoJo has like a serious fan base. So like, if you're saying I can get past the animation, I'll give it a shot.
It's like most of everyone's like Shikamaru-ish, like where they have stuff. I mean, it's silly in parts, but like Jotaro, he's like real smart. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, I will say, I don't know which season it belongs to, but I really like one of the songs that goes to JoJo's with the piano.
I can't think of it, but
then you probably haven't gotten into it yet. But like, it goes dun 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 dun.
I think I've heard it, but yeah, it's pretty. It's like he's like a goofy fighter too. Well, it's yeah. Jotaro's not really the first two seasons' main character. It's weird how they do it, but like what you understand.
I think there's a different JoJo every season, is from what I understand.
Yeah. It's pretty much how it goes. Like they all named a kid Joseph Joestar.
Yeah.
Until you get to Jotaro, and they just name him Jotaro. But yeah, it's pretty. I mean, I enjoy it. But yeah, the beginning you're like, ugh, this is funky looking.
Mm-hmm.
And Dio's absolute menace, and then the villains, dog. The stuff that they do, I'm like, damn, that is diabolical.
I'll give it a shot. I eventually want to give Gintama a shot again, because like, but it was just like the it was so slow and pointless the first three episodes, and I was just like, no. But like, I see scenes on Instagram, just like, damn, that looks entertaining.
Gintama's one of the ones that you just throw on just to have like background noise.
I might. If there's a dub version, I will.
Dub version on Hulu.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, because that's what I watched it on Hulu when I used to work out. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, this is a good scene. Because it's like one of those ones where like you don't necessarily have to like watch them in order or pick them up. I think you probably can jump into like episode 10 and not like miss anything.
Gotcha.
So it's like one of those. But yeah, Gintama was okay. I watched all the dubs, so I think it was like the first two seasons. I'm still watching JoJo. I think JoJo will be finished here soon.
Nice. I just read the latest chapter of Solo that came out, and let me tell you one thing. Kid Jinwoo is O fucking P. That man's a cheat code. I thought Sung Jinwoo was a cheat code. Nah, Kid Jinwoo is a cheat code.
Does he have to do the system training every day?
All right, so basically, here's what I think is going on, because there's really no explanation as to what's going on. So, mainly because I think by the time you actually get to, because you're listening to the novel, and I don't know if this will get a novel version to it, but even if it did, it's so far gone, you might actually forget about this. So basically,
I don't forget.
Okay, then forgive me if you remember. But to break down what's going on, Jinwoo's son, while he was at work, activated his powers. Like, he inherited powers from the monarch. And when he got a little older and he would like draw in class, he was drawing the shadows, which like brought concerns to like teachers. And like, this is what he draws. Like, he's an artist, but like, they were like, Jinwoo and Cha were like worried about like him exposing the shadows or something like that. So Jinwoo sealed his son's powers until he was ready to manifest them. Fast forward, Man's at school and he's like kind of bored of school, and a gate pops up in class. He walks in, and it's like from that moment to the chapter I just watched, it's like he's doing all the major events that Jinwoo was doing all at once, like back to back. Like he's doing the instant dungeons, the job class quest, the demon tower, and he's doing all of them back to back to back. So like the man jumped from level 1, I think he's like level 90 something right now, but he has this class that I don't think he's even noticed that says Son of the Monarch or something like that. They gave him 40 points to each category. So even though he's level 1, his stats were like level 41. And he was just raking up XP like freaking crazy. And like last chapter, and Pete said this in the text message, it was like, dude being level 110 in like two or three chapters is fucking crazy.
Yeah, I don't feel like his son should inherit the system properties.
I don't think he's inherit, because it's different. I think Jin, it's hard to explain because you're not at the end, and I don't want to give away the end of Solo, but I think it has something to do with Jinwoo.
Interesting.
Yeah. But like again, I don't have confirmation on that, so I wouldn't take my word for it.
I don't take anything you say.
Damn, dog.
Hey, dog, that's how it be. I trust no one.
Not even these holes in the streets?
Definitely not them. All
right, well, I got nothing else. You got something?
Nah, I'm good to go, baby.
All right, guys, that's going to do for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you next week. Peace.
Peace.